And as if that's not enough, we get things underway by getting on board the telephone line and welcoming in our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello, Dr. Kimball. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you on this special day?
Oh, wonderful. I worked a day side shift today, so my weekend has already started, Rich. I'm in a great mood right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good one, Jim. I'm sorry to steal away some of those precious weekend moments from you.
No, you got me in a great mood. I've punched out, which is great. Obviously, you feel good in the summertime when the weather's nice and you do that. So, you got me in a great mood.
Well, good. I like me. You're always in a good mood when you come on with us.
Sure. Well, of course. And, I mean, with what we're about to talk about, I'm sure, though, that might dampen things a little bit. Well, for some people, for others that are baseball fans of the other team, you know, maybe. But, yeah, I'll try to stay positive here.
All right, so let's do it. Sox Yankees game one of the series last night. I've seen several people making the statement that, wow, there's a huge gulf between these two teams. I thought it was a one-run game.
It was a one-run game. Look, everybody's looking at the standings. I make less of it than maybe other people do because it's not like the Red Sox are the only team that's that far behind the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees just had a tremendous, you know, historic first half of the season. And the Red Sox are right there with the Blue Jays, with the rest of the division. Now, they haven't done well against the rest of the division or any of the division. But I'm with you. It was a one-run game, and so that is at least encouraging when they're putting Gerrit Cole out there and you're marching out Josh Winkowski and now Connor Siebold tonight, and your pitching rotation is banged up, young, and you get certain days where a Cutter Crawford might step forward, but, you know, there's inconsistency there because of, you know, the health issues that the Sox have. So you're right, one-run game, that's encouraging.
Yeah, and again, you just got to get to the playoffs. Anything can happen then. And look, I want the Yankees to win like crazy because I want it to be like the Seattle Mariners of what year was it when they won 116 games?
2001, right?
Yeah.
2001?
Yep, and didn't play an important game for about the last 4 months of the season.
Right. And that's why it's funny to walk around and hear some of the gloating. There are a lot of Yankees fans in the state of Rhode Island. Right? I don't know if you knew this, but we air Yankee highlights on our sportscast every night because there are a lot of Yankees fans around here. And there's a lot of chest beating going on, especially after last night. And that's all well and good. Let them do it. They can do it all they want. They get 60 wins. They're doing great. Just when October comes around and things come around and, you know, the going gets tough, talk to me then. Then we'll see where they're at, see how much chest beating is going on at that point. But for now, go ahead. They're doing great. You got a great team. Congratulations to you, Yankees fans.
Darn right, yeah. Last time I checked, though, they don't give any trophies for the team that's in first place in July.
They do not, sir. They do not. But I'll tell you, the Yankees are being serious. They're well-built, and they find ways to win, and that's the scary thing about them this year, Rich. And I had a chance yesterday. So I was up at Fenway yesterday, and Michael King, who's one of their high leverage relievers out of their bullpen, is from Rhode Island, was a Gatorade Player of the Year here. And to hear him talk about how he and the rest of the guys in the clubhouse feel at ease when they're playing, the confidence they're going to win every night, seems really scary. And so, you know, as much as we say, you know, don't beat your chest in July, the Yankees are playing with a lot of ease, and they're very confident. So that is a scary thing. And for Yankees fans, that's got to be encouraging.
Some guys beat their chest. Others beat up a TV in a minor league clubhouse. Do you have any faith in Chris Sale being a big contributor down the stretch?
I think he can contribute. But at this point, can any of us really trust that he will go the distance in terms of being a big-time contributor, being an ace? You know, I throw that word out there loosely, and stay healthy. I don't think anybody can trust that now at this point. I mean, it's happened too many times that the health has gone downhill. I think there were some encouraging things about some of his, rehab stint here. But, you know, it's going to take some time. And right away, I mean, he had 5 walks and 5 strikeouts before he beat up the TV the other night. So there's things to work out. So, you know, I don't know. I hope he can come in and contribute. I think he will in some way, shape, or form. But banking on him being the Chris Sale of old, I don't think the Red Sox can do that. And I hope they're not doing that, because he can't be trusted in that regard.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. This Devers guy, pretty good. He seems like the kind of player a team might want to invest in for the long term.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I like watching him play baseball. I think a lot of people like watching him play baseball. And, you know, the Red Sox have a lot of money. Maybe they should sit, right? I mean, he's that good. And every time it seems like he comes up, it's like the price goes up. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. You'd hope, a young player like that's playing as well as he is, they would pay him, but we'll see.
Let's talk about the Celtics. Some early off-season moves. I like Brad Stevens, the general manager. He's not a guy who waits for things. He is out there being proactive, and I don't know, they may not need a whole lot more than what they've picked up already.
I think, Rich, with what the Celtics have done so far, a lot of people are talking about, you know, top of the NBA. Kevin Durant, trade for Kevin Durant. Maybe the Celtics are involved. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, you know, all of that. I think the Celtics, my ideal offseason for the Celtics, if I were Brad Stevens, would be adding guys like they have in Brogdon and Gallinari. And I think the only thing left to do is maybe add a backup center. And if they do that, I think it's a successful offseason. You know, you got to Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I don't think you need major tweaks. You know, one of the issues during the Finals was that your bench disappeared, and now you just added to your bench. So you got to feel good if you're a Celtics fan that Brad Stevens is kind of keeping a level head, doesn't feel like he has to blow anything up, and says, well, we are where we are. Let's add to it, and let's see what we can do next year with some added pieces and some, you know, veterans that have had some success in the league.
Boston Bruins finally got themselves a new head coach, former Black Bear Jim Montgomery, who will always be loved and be a hero around here for his efforts back in 1993. But is he the right guy for this job?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, Rich, what's the feeling up there with the Montgomery hire? I'm sure people are, are they thrilled about it? I imagine they are with how much of a legend he is up there.
Oh, I think so. I think anytime you see somebody with Black Bear connections get an opportunity, they're excited. I think for hardcore fans, there's the concern that he's going to follow the same fate of Bruce Cassidy, that management, you know, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, others, won't give him what he needs to be successful.
Right, and that is the worry for sure. If you're going to go the direction of keeping Don Sweeney, keeping Cam Neely around, okay, so those are the cards that you're playing. So in that situation, they look at it and say, however you feel about it, I didn't think letting Bruce Cassidy go was a great thing. The guy, I thought he's a great coach. But it sounds like what this locker room needs with these young players is somebody with a little bit of a softer touch, with a little bit of a more, relatability. With these guys and guys that can kind of give them a pat on the back after, you know, breaking them down, you know, as they're learning as young players. And you got to get more out of these young players that you've invested in if you're Sweeney. So is Jim Montgomery that guy? It sounds like, by all accounts, he could be. And I really like reading Chad Finn, down in Boston, obviously a guy that has main connections and covered that 93 team and wrote a great piece about covering them and covering Montgomery and saying that, you know, he watched Jim Montgomery relate to a young player and help him develop into a star. His name was Paul Kariya, his teammate at Maine. And so I thought it was a great sort of relatability, you know, to this current situation and saying he can relate to younger players and try to help them along. And so if that's what Jim Montgomery does, I think it could work out well. He may at least get a little bit more out of these young players that may need a softer touch, Jake DeBrusque, you know, maybe some of the guys that have come up from Providence and like a Jack Studnicka, Trent Frederick. If that's what Montgomery does, then and that's the cards that you're playing, then hey, maybe it works out, and hopefully it does for Montgomery's sake.
All right, we're a couple of months away from opening day for the Patriots. Over under 10 wins for the Patriots. Which do you take?
Oh my goodness. It's a great number because I don't know which way to lean. I guess I would lean. It's tough, and it's less about, for me, I think the offense is going to improve. I do. With all the uncertainty there, I think it's going to improve because I like what I'm hearing and like what I've seen, at least in the small sample size, out of Mac Jones. I think he's going to have a better second year than he did his first year. I think he's going to improve, have a good sophomore season. But the reason I'm hesitant about wins and saying, like, do I think they're going to get 11 wins? I don't know. I think they'd inch closer toward 9 wins than 11 is because of how much the AFC has improved and what's on their schedule. Mm. And it's difficult. You know, I look at, you know, some of the games in, like, December and going to, like, even, like, a Las Vegas. Like, that's tough. Even if it is a new coach in Josh McDaniels. They add Devontae Adams in the offseason. Like, there's so much talent. Look at Denver in the conference. Look at all these teams that you're competing with. So, unfortunately, I guess I would trend more toward the under. But it's funny you say that because I think they're going to improve in some areas. And so it's complicated, I guess you could say, in terms of that. But I guess I would go more under than I would over.
All right, before we let you go, Nick, you're a Renaissance guy. He died yesterday at 82. Best James Caan movie role?
Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, I love him as the dad in Elf.
Mm.
I think he's great. It was sort of a Renaissance moment for him. It was like, wow, James Caan's in Elf with Will Ferrell, a comedic Christmas movie, but he's perfect for the role. I mean, I don't know how you don't go with Sonny, and I, you know, first thing I think of is, you know, yes, even if it is very gory, you know, him getting lit up at the toll booth there.
Oh, yeah.
Godfather. I mean, that's, but even like a Brian song, like that's there on that list too. Like, he's so iconic. What a legend.
Misery. How about that?
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's so many places you can go with James Caan. It's tough. I guess I would lean Sonny and The Godfather, but Elf for me, such a close second because it's such a beloved Christmas movie now that, and he's so perfect for that role and what he does, and the just the contrast with Will Ferrell and the happy-go-luckiness, it's great. It's just a wonderful sort of James Caan late in his career moment.
Nick, always great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy that well-deserved weekend.
Rich, I will. A pleasure, as always. Thanks for launching me in a positive way into this weekend, a weekend where the Red Sox could get swept. But we'll see. Hopefully, we'll try to keep it positive.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Be well.
Thank you, my friend.